took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings, this is Pastor David, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Oh man, it's good to be back.
Yes, it is.
Our listeners may have noticed that we had a couple of pre-recorded programs that they heard. There was a lot going on in both of our lives. We just couldn't get here into the studio to record, but we're here now.
Yes, we are, and we didn't take a vacation. We were actually doing some pretty neat things.
Yeah, working for the Lord. We got into a really busy part of the vineyard, if you will.
Yes, we did.
That's good. Oh, well, but we're back together tonight, really enjoying it. Tonight's program is gonna cause you, I hope, to open your hearts as a question we're going to ask in the beginning, our theme. And then we're going to have a scripture that I'm going to read. And then Barry and I will do what we do best, which is talk and back and forth and raise some issues. And let me just say, anytime when you listen to us, make notes about the scripture and anything else that may seem relevant or wise.
And we would like to hear from you.
Yeah.
We're interested to see what's going on in your minds and your hearts out there.
And you can easily do that by sending us a message on our email, which is Glorious Day Radio. It's all one word, lowercase, Glorious Day Radio at Outlook.com. That's Glorious Day Radio at Outlook.com. We really love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll pause for a minute while you write that down.
Yes, really. We'll talk real slow.
Slowly. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Here's my question and the theme. Are you free in Christ?
Truly free.
Truly free.
Mm-hmm.
Our theme is freedom in Christ, true freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And it's a common, you've probably read it 7 million times if you've read the Bible at all. And you've heard it another 7 million probably.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just guessing.
But who's counting?
Who's counting? Yeah. Paul writes this to the church in Galatia. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So we're going to kind of pick that apart.
Yeah, we can. First, let's discuss what the yoke is.
Yeah.
Because there's many different yokes. And at first blush, when you look at this, the obvious is the yoke of sin.
Yes.
The followed by self-recrimination, self-doubt, and on it goes. And with the great liar, Satan, reinforcing the fact that you have failed.
Yeah.
And if you don't have Christ in your heart, then you're going to believe him. That it all makes sense. But you don't want to be a slave to sins of the past or even sins that we may commit now. And how can I say this, David? If you fully embrace Christ and you have a personal relationship with him and you've been saved, at what point are you holding on to the stuff?
Yeah.
And it comes, we were just talking before the show, it comes into the purview of trusting God.
It is, that's the key.
Trust.
Trusting God.
And that he's got this and you need to trust him, which means that you need to relinquish your control.
Yeah.
Or what you think, you may think you're in control and you're making plans and making things come and go, and that just amuses God, I think.
Yeah, it kind of amuses me too, looking back, because it's a shared fantasy among human beings.
And some take it so seriously. I'm in charge now. We've heard that over and over in our lives. Or when the babysitter comes in, the mother says, okay, this 13-year-old girl's in charge of all you guys, and you got to do what she says. Is she really in charge? Who's in charge here? And I say that every time I go to the supermarket now, David, because the prices are through the roof, and I look around, and I said, who's in charge here? But that's another story for another time. But really, it is about trust. And in order to trust, you've got to give up and surrender your control.
Yes.
And what you perceive to be your own power.
And this is the whole issue of surrender is consistent with how the Word of God tells us our lives should be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's common to all believers that when we receive Christ, it's not, you know, like he becomes an attorney that, although he does represent us at the judgment.
Yes, he does.
But it's not like an attorney that we only call when we have an issue, you know, and hopefully you trust your attorney if you do have one. But that otherwise, if nothing is seriously impinging on my joy mm-hmm. and the things that I want to do, then I don't have to do that. But when you receive Christ Jesus, that receipt of Jesus
mm-hmm.
comes with the expectation that we will, that that's a submission mm-hmm. at that. A true receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior is submitting to him because you're inviting the God of all creation into your heart. You know, and he's not coming in and saying, well, you know, tell me what you think. You know, I don't want, cause, you know, what there is a place, I wish I could cite it, but where God says, this is my version, my interpretation, and says, you know, I don't need your opinion. Mm-hmm. I created all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm God. You know, you need to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I was trying to think back, you know, the best example that I have is, I've never told this. I don't think I even told this in a sermon, Barry.
But oh, boy, and I've heard a lot of them.
Well, yeah. it's a pre-Jesus, so it talks about my life, how I got really, because of the lie.
Oh.
That I my life, because of the telling of the lie, and then what I did after that. So here's the story. Back soon after my wife and I were married, the thing about marriage, you know, increases the expenses in the household and
well, sure.
forces people to work. And so I had initially tried to get, I'd had my AA degree and I was trying mm-hmm. to get my BA, and I was going to USF, University of South Florida mm-hmm. in Tampa. And of course I ran out of money, which, you know, so I had to actually go get a job. And so, I applied for several things, but the first full-time job I had was a manager trainee for a jewelry company. It was a chain. They were, at that time, they don't exist anymore, I don't think, mm-hmm. but they were in malls and
okay.
other places. So I was beginning to see that it wasn't really for me.
Okay.
I was enjoying the camaraderie, and we had a great manager, you know, but selling things just wasn't for me. And so my wife had gotten a job with a major insurance company at their regional office in Winter Haven. And I'd go home and I'd say, oh, this is not working. And so she one day came home and she said, I heard that there's an opening in the claims department for an adjuster.
Okay, insurance adjuster.
Insurance adjuster.
Okay.
And that, at that point, resonated with me. So what I should have done is go to the manager and say, you know, this isn't working for me. I've got another opportunity. Well, actually, you know, did not leave until I had gotten the job offer. But so when that happened, but here's the thing. I, in my heart, the guy was such a great guy. He was a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to, I didn't want to create any angst in his heart, you know, over my leaving. Now, to be quite honest, looking back on that, that was pride and arrogance on my part.
Right.
You know,
how could he ever function without me?
Exactly. Or that he might be wounded after all the care and time he spent training. and I just didn't want that. But anyway, but I realize I just was embarrassed by having to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here's what I told him. I got back in his office one day, and I said, Mr., I forget what his name is, but I said, I got to tell you something. And it's really, it says, I'm having some heart problems.
Heart problems?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, and they can't do anything here. They want to send me down to Miami, where there is a big heart hospital down there.
Yeah, there is.
And I said, I'm telling you, I'm appalled at my old self doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But so the lie, and then it got bigger,
mm-hmm.
To the point where I said, so I've got to leave. I can't be here. I've got to be going down there. And I don't think he believed me, but I think he was telling the lie. He was gracious
mm-hmm.
about it. But I believe he knew I was lying, and I think that wounded him more
mm-hmm.
than me just coming out and saying, hey, this is not working for me. I right. found what I think might be a better job. But that lie burned a hole in my heart. And it had an influence on, I did get that job.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 3 years there, and then I went on to work for State of Florida State Insurance Commission. So mm-hmm. I had a 6-year stint, but it hung over me like a cloud, dark cloud.
Maybe that's a healthy thing that it was bothering you.
Well,
because
yeah.
there are folks who flippantly would tell the lie and move on and not have a problem with it.
But I was, until I met the Lord, he released me from that. But the point is that, I was a slave. I was enslaved to that lie.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, nights I couldn't sleep.
Wow.
Tossing and turning. My attitude sometimes, during the day when that would, it always find its way, it would float to the top of my thoughts, and then I'd be angry at myself, and then I'd be upset. And so my attitude with other people, I'd be short, I'd be angry.
I know you pretty well, David. And that's why I said maybe it's not a bad thing, because that shows character in your part that, the character in you was saying, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You probably were tempted to go back and tell them the truth.
At a certain point I was, but then I couldn't find him.
Mm.
I didn't know where he went or if he was still alive.
Yeah.
Several, decade or so after that. But, the Lord, point is that the true freedom in Christ, when we submit to him, he gives us the life that he knows he wants us to have, a life of potential, a meaning.
Absolutely, and not a life of darkness and holding on to the past and being enslaved to that.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, as you were speaking too, that there are times that we see people enslaved in religion.
Oh, yes.
I hate to pick on the Pharisees again, but they were enslaved with their rule book.
Oh, yeah.
And what they were requiring people to do, and people were probably looking at them wondering if they were going by the rules as well. But what kind of life is that where you're 24 hours a day, thinking about mm-hmm. not breaking a rule? Where's the love there? Where's the compassion? Where's the mercy?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when the folks were being preached to by Christ himself, and I always picture them sitting there looking at Christ and then looking over at the Roman guards with their swords, then looking over at the Pharisees who were waiting to trip up Jesus, they really wanted to be free.
Yeah.
And they had never experienced that yet, which was probably one of the many reasons, but one of the reasons that they were so drawn to Christ is this... Yeah. They're peeking over the horizon at a possibility of having freedom in their life.
I'm just imagining that. Well, I know in my own relationship with the Lord that he has always been getting me to open up to vistas beyond the ones that I, you know, that I could see.
Right.
You know, without his help, you know, I'd say, oh, that I'll go that far. That'd be fun. He says, no, no, I want you to go look way down. Look broadly. Look at what I've given you, what I want you to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're free to use the gifts I've given you.
Right.
And, you know, you're free to express, you know, the extent, the depth, the width, the breadth of those gifts.
Well, he knows what we're capable of doing because every one of us is an authentic creation of his. And if we would just follow his plan, surrender to his plan, not ours, and we do that as pastors and ministers and preachers, if you really are open to the Holy Spirit and surrendered to him, you get a lot of things that come out of your mouth or out of your brain that kind of surprises you.
Right. Like,
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Why is my church feeding 1,400 people a week? Well, because at one point I went from offering someone a can of soup to the Lord saying, no, I want more.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a preconceived idea of what the Lord wants us to do. And maybe in the beginning of our ministries, we are obedient to that, but it's a living organism where, you know, he wants you to spread your wings.
Yes.
And go to places that you never thought you could, to people you never thought you'd associate with. And there's freedom in that because your own prejudices are dropped by the wayside.
That's part of the freedom, is dropping those prejudices. And some are linked to inappropriate expectations that we picked up in our growing up time.
Right, right.
From parents and significant adults and other stuff and friends as we get older, you know, hit the age of reason or whatever that is.
I got to tell you a story. My father instilled on me, at least he tried, to distrust certain groups of people. And I was on a sales/training session over on the west coast of Florida, and I was driving home. I had a minivan at the time. I love my Astro minivan. It was almost a macho minivan. But anyway, I'm driving back, and I was cutting through a little town not far from Winter Haven. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But it was just a little afterthought of a town, blinking yellow light.
There's several of those. I used to grow up in Winter Haven, so there are several of those towns.
And it was a rainstorm from, well, it almost looked like a tropical storm.
Mm.
Long story short is that my minivan was blown into the curb in the center of the road, and I hit a concrete abutment and not only popped my tire, but bent the rim. Now I now had a square rim.
They don't roll too well.
I stopped and I looked at through the windshield wipers going, and I saw an auto salvage yard. And I saw three guys under a beat down old awning who looked like the old Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Yeah.
And there was an inverted ratio of teeth and tattoos. And my father always told me, don't trust those people. They came up to the window. And they said, we're going to help you.
Mm.
I said, you are? They said, yeah, we watched the whole thing. Excuse me. So what happened was this. They got an umbrella, got me into the under the awning, pulled out a rim from the dump, found a tire for it, changed my tire, checked the air pressure on the other tires, and sent me on my way. Wouldn't accept any money.
Wow. That is God.
Yeah. That taught me a lot that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father only teaches us godly things. Our earthbound fathers leave a little bit of a debris field sometimes.
That's true.
From their fathers and their father's fathers.
Yes. Mm. And that's that kind of dovetails with what I said earlier about the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
We have to open up. Trusting God means putting those, what may have seemed wise to us when we were younger, but really hold us back, keep us from stretching out. God wants, I mean, you know, scary serving God.
It is, because
sometimes
you can be very comfortable as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a pew sitter. You could be very still. You may not even make eye contact with anybody.
Right.
But then the Lord wants you to be stretched.
Yeah.
And put you in situations where you had to learn to trust him. Do I have enough time for one quick little story?
I think you might.
We both have a friend of ours who's a very young priest. And when he was training to be a deacon at the time, this young man is a professional nurse practitioner. If he hears this, he knows I'm talking about him. And the Lord, in prayer one night, told him to go to prison. Now, this is a Midwestern farm boy, squeaky clean, pale-skinned, blue-eyed guy who walks into a prison on the Treasure Coast and told the folks there that he needs to listen to the Lord and preach the gospel to the prisoners. And he's so squeaky clean, wet behind the ears, the who's who there said, okay. They took him in and they put him in a cell with 12 of the scariest men that you've ever seen in your life. They verbally abused him, threatened him. Long story short is that he left with his tail between his legs and considered himself a failure.
Yeah.
And he told me he was just going to never go back there again, and he was even questioning his calling because he's ineffective. And I said, go pray to God and ask him what he wants you to do. He did. The next week he shows up at the prison with his credentials. He's a CPR instructor. And in prayer, God told him, those guys need you. They need to do something significant in their life that's positive. And the more he prayed and thought about it, he said, well, what if they learn how to do CPR? So he had to get over his fear of a verbal beating again, and maybe even a physical beating. He didn't know. And what should have been, what's it take, 3 to 5 hours to do a CPR course, took 6 weeks. And they had to pull all the metal out of the dummies, and some of the guys couldn't read, and instead of working as teams, they just wanted to kill each other. And so he finally gets them all passed after 6 weeks, and he called their family members. He got the phone numbers and he said, listen, I'm having a graduation ceremony. And he turned their cards into certificates, and there was a ceremony where they all passed and they achieved something.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And he wasn't stretched in the fact that he's taught CPR 1,000 times in his life. But what stretched him was getting over his fear of rejection, physical violence, and failure.
Yeah, which is heavy.
That, you put all that against one young man, and it could be intimidating.
Yes.
But he was set free when he saw it through week after week. He came out stronger too. Now, they came out stronger as well because they learned to work as a team, and they had actually accomplished something in their lives for the first time that was a positive thing.
It turned them around. Reaching your potential.
Right.
You know, every day in Christ, he's moving us to reach not just the potential we came up with one day when we sat and thought, what should I do with my life?
Oh, yeah.
But God being perfect, and knowing exactly what our gifts are and how he wants us to use them.
Right.
It's his understanding of what potential he has put in us.
That's right, David.
And the enemy, the greatest slavery on his part is the lies that we do hear growing up and often believe that hold us back from that.
Those are the restraints.
Yes.
Restraints on your heart and your confidence, and we can go on and on with that, but it's a restraint anyway. God's not going to put a restraint on you. He's saying, come, work with me.
We have about 3 minutes.
Okay.
And I want to throw in a story.
Okay.
I may have told it some time ago, but, you know, I'm going to tell it again, and I'll edit it for time. But short story is, when I was a kid, I had a congenital hip issue, which caused me a lot of problems and kept me, you know, out of regular phys ed in school because they were just concerned about it causing problems. It did when I was 5, and I had to be on a leg brace and all this, crutches for 3 years from age 5 to 9, and all that goes with that. But And my mom and dad, in order to make sure that I did not start walking on that leg before I should, mm-hmm. put the fear of them in me, not the fear of God, fear of them in me. If something happens again, the doctor said you'll never walk again.
Ooh.
You know, and that was pretty
scary.
Heavy.
Yeah,
and
for a little
so
kid.
That was even after the age of, I came off the crutches and the leg brace, but I still, they were very forceful. You can't do that. So I didn't play sports in school because of that. Now, fast forward to, I'm 30 years old. I'm looking at going to seminary. So, you know, God's got me doing some stuff. I've been knowing him for, you know, about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
but long enough. So he says to me one day, we're walking around a big lake in Lakeland, and he says, I want you to start running.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you said, did you talk to my mother about that?
Well, you know, I had to struggle with that, but mm-hmm. I did. I did that ultimately, and it took me about a month to be able to run without stopping. It's a 3 mile around the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was able finally to run that, jog it rather, without stopping, and I came to broke the tape, if you will, in my
sure.
bed. At that point, and it's a beautiful spring morning in Central Florida, and when I finally stopped, the Lord said to me, he said, you have broken, not only broke the tape, but you've broken that lie that the devil told you through otherwise well-meaning parents.
Right, right.
Because I want you to be able, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, to reach past where the furthest point you think you can go. Because I'm calling you onto, like I do all my people, onto a journey where you got to stretch. You got to get out of your comfort zones.
Right.
Sometimes you got to run.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. And you know, of course, God again, right, obviously, but he has been right. It's been a life of stretching constantly.
Yeah.
And friends, we're trying to get across to you in this day, these days before revival. If you're not there, if you're hearing this and saying, maybe I better ask the Lord for some grace because I need to be free of whatever's holding me back. This is why we're talking about that tonight.
He's waiting with open arms. He's just waiting for you to make that decision.
Amen.
That's
and
it.
He will.
You know, there's nothing holding you back except your own fear or your own ego, your own pride.
And if you'll ask him, he'll help you.
Yes, he will. He'll equip you.
But you know what? Time is up.
Oh.
Till next week, we have to say it's been fun.
It has.
It has.
It always
and
is.
We hope that this has been helpful. Again, our email is gloriousdayradio@outlook.com.
.com.
God bless you all.
God
have
bless
a good
you.
Night.
Good night, Tom. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Come on, ladies.